I did give you a one-liner last week, and I spared no expense. I have another one for you. Anyway, Andy Andrews, an author, I really enjoy listening to, and I read a book of his, and it's really good, called The Traveler's Gift. He usually puts pretty neat little things on there, but his one-liner was, "Wisdom is the ability to see the future consequences of our choices." I thought that was pretty good. So there's another free one-liner for you. Sometimes we don't think too far ahead of maybe decisions we made, but wisdom is the ability to see the future consequences of our choices. So there you go, another free one-liner. Feel free to use that whenever you see the need. So we learned that wisdom is not knowledge. And the word says, now, knowledge is not bad. We know that. Education, great. Knowledge of the Word of God, awesome. But there is a scripture that says knowledge puffs up. So we kind of talked about those people that seem to know everything about everything. And they don't hesitate to let you know that they know that. And if you think you know anything, they're going to correct you and give you a little insight on maybe the topic you're talking about. So we're going to talk about wisdom, which is not knowledge. So our key verse, if you will, Proverbs 4:7. In the New King James Version says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding." We know that principal is the first place. That means, that word means first place in time, order, or rank, the beginning, or the chief. And Proverbs 24:3 says, "Through skillful and godly wisdom is a house, a life, a home, a family built, and by understanding it is established on sound and good foundation." So who doesn't want wisdom? That's good stuff. This is just a little review of last week. Jeremiah 10:12 in the Amplified says, "God made the earth by his power. He established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding and skill stretched out the heavens." So if the Lord by wisdom created everything, is wisdom important in our own lives as his kids? And the answer is a resounding absolutely yes. And wisdom, we heard, is in its simplest form means skillful. And understanding is always coupled with wisdom. It always goes with wisdom, and that is skillfulness and discretion. And the adjective of that Hebrew word, to be wise, was viewed as a mastery of the art of living in accordance with God's expectations. And wisdom is viewed as a process of attainment and not an accomplishment. That means it's not like I got all the wisdom on this subject. No, it's a constant growth. It's a constant process in our lives. And the noun of that word for wisdom is the knowledge and ability to make the right choices at the opportune time. And who does not want that in their life? Wouldn't you love to look back and think, I never made the wrong choice ever? And I'm pretty sure that there would be no show of hands if I asked who did that. So wisdom and understanding go hand in hand. Proverbs 8:32-36 in the New Living Translation says, "And so, my children, listen to me." This is wisdom talking. "Listen to me, for all who follow my ways are joyful. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Don't ignore it. Joyful are those who listen to me, watching for me daily at my gates, waiting for me outside my home. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But those who miss me injure themselves, and all who hate me love death." This is wisdom crying out. And Proverbs 9:10 in the Amplified, "To the reverent," this is the beginning of wisdom, "the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is the beginning, the chief and choice part of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is insight and understanding." So this is where wisdom begins, with the fear of the Lord. And we talked about that. It's not being afraid of God. It's worshipful reverence to God, who he is, and realizing that he is the source of life. And that is where wisdom begins. And this, we followed up, or I should say, closed up with these two scriptures. I kind of shortened them up a little bit. In 1 Corinthians 1:24, in the New Living Translation, we see, "But to those called by God to salvation," That would be us, both Jews and Gentiles. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And in 1 Corinthians 1:31, also in the New Living Translation, God has united you with Christ Jesus, hallelujah, for our benefit, for our benefit. God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, we only boast about the Lord and what he did. He made us pure and holy. He made us right with God. That is awesome. He is the expression of wisdom from God. That's so good. Hallelujah. And then James 3:17 in the New Living Translation, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. So I didn't get into the devilish wisdom, because there's devilish wisdom talked about in the Word and human wisdom. But this is a description of the wisdom of God. It sounds awful lot like the fruit of the Spirit. It's always good. Amen? Proverbs 3:13-18, the New Living Translation. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding, for wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. She offers you long life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left. She will guide you down the delightful paths. All her ways are satisfying. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tightly. I never saw that till just now. Wisdom is a tree of life. Tree of life was a picture of Jesus. And all those who embrace her embrace wisdom. All those who embrace Jesus embrace life. Proverbs 8:17-21 in the New Living Translation. I love all who love me. Those who search will find me. So God's not trying to hide wisdom. If he says to get wisdom, that means it's available. I have riches and honor as well as enduring wealth and justice. My gifts are better than gold, even the purest gold. My wages better than sterling silver. I walk in righteousness, in paths of justice, and those who love me inherit wealth. I will fill their treasuries. If somebody called you and said, hey, nobody probably ever told you this, but there's $10 million buried somewhere in your backyard. You own that land. It's all yours. Would you look for it? What crazy person wouldn't? I'd be calling John Laux. Get the low boy over here with some excavating equipment. We're going to dig up my backyard. I'll give you a little bit of this. But if there was that kind of treasure, if you will, I'd start with my hands until he got to my house with the big stuff. But come on, kids. But we would go completely bonkers looking for this. I mean, give me a break. And we're told that wisdom is greater than that. It's way more. It's not even worth mentioning within the topic of wisdom, riches versus getting wisdom. Because when you get wisdom, it looks like you get the riches. There's no coincidence that Solomon, we all know he was the wisest man in the Old Testament, and the richest man that ever lived. I believe, I almost feel like it was on a cover of a secular publication, whether it was like a Time magazine or something like that. And he was like a trillionaire. I mean, he would be that in our day and age. That's he may be able to get the government right out of debt. How much you need? But there's no coincidence in that. So we see in Proverbs, we know in Proverbs there's a lot of contrasting between the wise and the fool. And nobody in here is a fool. You are not fools. We have embraced Jesus. Jesus was made into us wisdom. And this is kind of like the first scripture I read out of Psalm 1. what wisdom is not and what we are not like. And we are wise children of God. And so I hesitated to even throw stuff like this in, but it'll just to expose a little bit of it. So let's just get, we're going to whip through this pretty quick. So Proverbs 1:7, a New Living Translation. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So if you don't want wisdom and you despise being corrected, that's what a foolish person would look like. And this word fool, I didn't delve into it, but it's, let's just get it out there. It's the word that we get our word moron for. So we don't want to be anywhere around that. So Hebrews 12:5-6, and the voice says, my child, do not ignore the instruction that comes from the Lord, or lose heart when he steps in to correct you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he corrects each one he takes as his own. And in our life, I would just say simply, as a disciple of the Lord Jesus, always have an attitude like this. Lord, correct me where I need correction. Show me, you know, not to focus on that constantly and, you know, what you're doing wrong and all that, but have that attitude about you, that humble spirit, not a prideful attitude, because we know that the Lord gives grace to the humble and he resists the proud. So we always want to have that humility and that teachableness and that openness to say, Lord, if I messed up somewhere, just show me, correct me in this. And that's the attitude that we have as his kids. Proverbs 12:15 in the New King James Version, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Also in Proverbs 14:12, says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. I would say that way that seems right to most men and or women would be the carnally minded way. A way of following your feelings, your emotions, and all that. Because that we know that carnal mindedness always leads to death. And that is the end of that. So we don't want to be, I think I'm going to be reading this scripture, but you know, wise in our own eyes. There's another scripture I'm thinking of. Anyway, but we need to be quick to heed counsel. It said that's what the wise do. And again, I go back, humility is a key to receiving wisdom from God, and pride is definitely a hindrance in this walk seeking wisdom and receiving wisdom from God. We go into Proverbs 14:3 in the New Living Translation. A fool's proud talk becomes a rod that beats him. Wow. But the words of the wise keep them safe. Good. Proverbs 14:16, New King James Version, a wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. I think I work with this guy. I know I do. Proverbs 18:2 in the New Living Translation, fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. I know this person too. But we all do, right? We know those people that pretty much don't care what you have to say. They want to let you know what they got to say. Again, it kind of ties to the person who's has lots of knowledge, or at least they think they do, and they want to air that and let that roll. So Job 12:11 in the Amplified says, is it not the task of the ear to discriminate between wise and unwise words? Just as the mouth distinguishes between desirable and undesirable food. And I started thinking of that. I mean, we taste words with our ears. We know that we can tell the difference between the counsel of the ungodly or the counsel of the godly. And I would go as far as to saying this. Before you serve, this is where we want to be. Before you serve words to somebody, just like you would, my wife is an amazing baker, and if you ever ask her to make you a cake, you're going to find a little corner of that cake gone. A lot of times. She's going to taste that before she gives that to you. But not all the time, but she does that. So when we speak, should we taste our words first to make sure that they are good before we serve them to somebody? I just had that thought. I wasn't an original thought, but I heard somebody say that and said, that's wisdom. We don't want to speak idle or inoperative words. I'm not saying don't talk until you really, really consider this. I'm just, it's something to think about, that we should be aware and taste the words that we're about to serve somebody else. So, does that make sense? Proverbs 21:20 in the New Living Translation, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. And that was me and my wife. In the beginning of our marriage, we showed nothing for anything. We were what they call dinks, double income, no kids, for like 10 years. And that was before Dave Ramsey came into our life and showed us the way of wisdom. But no, we spent everything we had, and we had nothing to show for it. And I look back, and you know, you could kind of beat yourself up about that. But you know, you could go far as saying, "Man, I could have paid cash for a house," but because we rented real cheap for 8 years and all that. But anyway, so the wise have wealth and luxury. That's because they don't spend everything they have. And I didn't get into that, but you know, it talks about looking at the ant, "Oh, you sluggard," and how the ant actually stores up and makes himself ready for what's coming. So I already said this about Solomon. It was no coincidence that he was the wisest man and the richest man. But the interesting thing is, Jesus was having a conversation with some people I mentioned last week, and he said, "One more than Solomon is with you now." And he was talking of himself. And how many knows that just goes back to that Jesus is our wisdom. When you embrace wisdom, you are embracing Jesus. You are embracing wisdom. How awesome is that? That takes a while to really meditate on. Proverbs 29:11 in New Living Translation: "Fools vent their anger, but the wise quietly hold it back." Yeah, everybody's thinking, "I know that person too." Well, so fools vent their anger. There's no holding back. And I definitely had a few altercations at work with that. Proverbs 30:32 in the Amplified: "If you have done foolishly in exalting yourself, or if you have thought evil, lay your hand upon your mouth." Wow. James 4:10, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So that's contrasting between exalting yourself and allowing the Lord to lift you up by humbling yourselves. And you know, this isn't the time to turn to your spouse and say, I do not pity you, fool. You're a lot of this stuff, you know. This isn't a thing to elbow and, yeah, I live with that fool and whatever. But no, this is just exposing who we are not. We are children of the Most High, and we embrace wisdom in Jesus. So walking in wisdom, we're going to walk through some ways to grow and to receive wisdom in our lives, and that's what we want, right? Because wisdom is the principal thing. And here we go. Proverbs 13:20 in the Voice: "One who walks with the wise becomes wise, but whoever keeps company with fools only hurts himself." Have you ever hung around with people in your life and all of a sudden you become like them? Kinda. There's always those people that, you know, they throw out the thing like, "I'm just hanging around these people. I'm just doing this. I'm going here with them because I'm gonna tell them about Jesus. I'm gonna evangelize them." Before you know it, you're all wrapped up. I know many a person that got a little too wrapped up, and in the end, it led to death. But I remember a guy. When I was reading this verse, I thought, you know, I was thinking of my own life and stuff. But one little point in this, or memory that it jogged, was back quite a long time ago, 20-some years ago. But it was a guy I worked with, and I remember his name was Sam. I don't remember his last name, but I remember, you know, he invited me over, whatever, went over to his apartment, and I didn't drink or whatever, but we got a case of beer or two or whatever, and you know, and it led to getting drunk. It led to you know, just craziness. And I thought, this isn't, you know, looking back, like, this isn't me. But it's funny how I just hung around this guy enough and enough and enough, and it started, rather than me, the funny part about this, kind of, is, you know, it got so bad where he was, you know, we were mixing liquor with beer, and that got a little weird. He got weird, and there was knives pulled out, and cops called, and And it was quite a story. But the funny thing about this is, I was getting back to that. Huh? Yeah, it escalated quick. It was really strange. It was a couple day. It was almost like a festival we were having. But anyways, we were just getting drunk and whatever. So anyways, it's funny how I came to my senses during the drunken state I was in, realizing this is not me. And then I start preaching to him about Jesus. Isn't that strange? Maybe we've all been there. Have we all been there? I don't know. But anyways, I was talking to him and whatever and just telling him about Jesus, and he was all slobbery drunk, and I had him pinned down to the floor because he was trying to go driving somewhere. And it was, but anyways, if I had another friend there, I was like, call the cops. We got to get out of here. I got to work tomorrow, and this is crazy. So anyways, who knows where Sam is today, but it's funny how the times you can come to your senses and the real you, the Holy Spirit wakes you up and says, hey, wait a minute, this isn't you. But it just goes back to like, whoever keeps company with fools only hurts himself, and in that way, I guess I hurt myself. So Psalm 14:1 says, who are the wise? They fear God. So how do I know who to hang out with? Well, we know that wise people fear God. Wise people reverence God. So there's a good standard to go by. Who are the fools? Well, fools say there is no God. So if you want to hang around with somebody who's wise, start with the people that reverence and worship God in their lives, and you can see that. That's a good starting point. And you know, you can choose who you hang with, not even actual people, like in person. You can choose who you hang with by, I choose all the time. I choose who I hang with in the way of who I allow to speak into me through books I read, of course, the Word of God. Is that the voice that speaks, you're allowing to speak into your life the most? You know, you become what you behold. What are you beholding in your life? Are you beholding Jesus? Are you beholding the truth of the Word of God that says who you are in Christ Jesus? You know, what are you listening or watching? Who are you allowing to speak into your life? And that's a very key thing. That's a way maybe that sounds odd, but that's the way I picture of hanging out with the wise or hanging out with people who have wise counsel. You can choose that. In today's day and age, we have so many resources, it's just crazy. And so venture out there and choose the wisdom that you want to hang around with. 1 Corinthians 14:2 in the Amplified says, for one who speaks in an unknown tongue, this is where we get another way of wisdom. One who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. And we are a church that believes, like I said, in the gifts of the Spirit. And we believe in the end of Mark where it says these signs will follow them that believe. They will speak in other tongues. And we do that. We believe that we are praying the wisdom of God in our life. And I know we're going to get into that. I'm not going to go off on a rabbit trail on this, but I mean, I'm in the camp that believes that the evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is that evidence of speaking in other tongues. And we're going to see a couple more verses here, but Jesus even told his disciples, go into Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the gift, and that's the Holy Spirit. Am I saying you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to go to heaven? No. Andrew Womack says you might get there faster, but it's vital. It is vital. And I know we're going to learn about that in the weeks to come. Well, let's see some more about this gift of praying in another tongue, giving it utterance by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:4, in the Amplified, he who speaks in a strange tongue edifies and improves himself. That actually means to build up as an edifice. So that's a good thing, right? To build up yourself. The Lord has given us a gift to build up our spirit, man, to improve ourselves in the spirit, I would say that's a good thing. That's wisdom. And the devil hates this because, well, for one, he doesn't know what's going on. And that's huge. 1 Corinthians 14:5 in the Amplified, "Now I wish that you might all speak in unknown tongues." So this is Paul. This is Paul talking. He wants everybody to walk and to exercise this gift in their own lives because he knows it's a way of edifying yourself and a way of improving yourself, building yourself up in your most holy faith. 1 Corinthians 14:13, also in the Amplified, "Therefore, the person who speaks in an unknown tongue should pray for the power to interpret and explain what he says." So I learned this through Pastor Chad. Just like I grew up in a church, and this chapter in 1 Corinthians goes into even deeper levels of how that looks orderly in a church setting, in the body of believers. And I've always been blessed to be in a church that believe in the gifts of the Spirit, that operate in the gifts of the Spirit, and it was done very orderly because we know God is a God of order. And there was always these two guys that they weren't anything special. They just, like I said earlier, they walked in obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And during praise and worship or following praise and worship, someone would give a tongue. You could hear them speak in tongues out loud. And of course, the Bible says that if that is done in a public setting, like in a corporate setting, it must be followed up with the interpretation of that tongue. And so as a kid, I was always aware of this. And I actually came to a point where I started expecting it to happen. But it was always done in perfect order. And it was a beautiful thing because it was the Lord talking to us through these vessels that were available. Just like Tim spoke this morning, he was available, stepped out in obedience, and he was a blessing in the hand of the Lord. And this praying in tongues thing is so vital and so awesome and in building yourself up. I can't do it justice just in the short time we have here, but I do believe we'll be seeing more of this. 1 Corinthians 14:18, continuing on in this vein, in the Amplified, "I thank God that I speak in strange tongues, languages more than any of you or all of you put together." So Paul's saying, hey, I speak in tongues all the time. Nobody speaks in tongues more than me. So that's, for the guy that's saying that, that wrote, you know, over half the New Testament, that's, you might want to take mental note of that. Like, there's something more to this than I realized. And, you know, I don't know anybody's background. I don't know, you might have gone to a denomination that kind of demonized this subject. I don't know. But if Paul's talking about it, I want to perk up my ears and see why is this so useful? What's going on here? And 1 Corinthians 14:39, the Amplified, "Do not forbid or hinder speaking in unknown tongues." So if you do come from a denomination that forbids, that should be a red flag a little bit. But that is a vital, vital gift from God in our life. And, you know, I've shared many a time, even at work and stuff, just talking to the Lord, and then, like, I come upon a task that I don't know if I know this. And I start praying in the Holy Spirit, believing that I'll receive. And again, I kind of brushed over this and didn't stay on it. But Pastor Chad said that's not just an audible, like, interpretation and our understanding, our human, you know, in our case, English, the interpretation of that tongue. It also can be our understanding becoming fruitful after we pray in the Spirit, expecting a revelation of God's wisdom in this situation. And that, because I've had that, where it's just like, I'll pray in the Spirit, and all of a sudden, you know, I got this task at hand, and boom, this thought pops in my head. Now, it's not a thought that just was flying by and popped in my head. I believe it was the Holy Spirit giving me understanding of what I was just praying about. In James 1:5 through 8 in the Amplified, it says, "If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly, without reproaching or fault-finding, and it will be given him. Only it must be in faith that he asks, with no wavering, no hesitation, no doubting. For the one who wavers, hesitates, or doubts is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. For truly, Let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. For being as he is a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, he is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, or decides. Oh, sounds a little harsh, doesn't it? At the end there. And just to not go super far into this, but one day I asked, I acted on this scripture, if you lack deficiency in an area. One day I was praying, I knew financially I wasn't getting it. Things weren't clicking, little things here and there. I had made decisions in a wise way to do things. Well, I said, Lord, I need your wisdom in finances. I want to know more about this, what I'm doing wrong, whatever. I'm not going to make a long story long. But one day, driving to work, same road for years, forever, there's one billboard on this road in the beginning. And all of a sudden, a guy named Dave Ramsey's face showed up on this billboard. I'm like, who's that guy? And I saw a reference to a radio station or something. So I get to work later in the day. There's a guy named last name Ramsey. So I was kind of joking. Hey, I saw your uncle on the billboard this morning. And that just started the snowball of finding out who this guy was. And I thought, Well, long story short, all of the way he teaches, whether you like him or not, I know people that they're annoyed by him. It doesn't matter. Whatever. But the wisdom on finances that he's giving out and that he's pouring out is from the Bible. That's wisdom. And I thought, okay, well, I prayed for wisdom. I believed I received wisdom in this area. And here we go. Okay, I see this is what the Bible says about it, and he's telling me what the Bible says about it. And so I started acting on that, and guess what? I got the results. If you do things God's way, you get God's results. Now, have I arrived? Am I the great financial guru of our time? No, I'm still growing in this area. But it's interesting, that's just an example of asking for wisdom, believing you're going to receive it without doubting, and then when you get it, what are you going to do with it? You got to get it. It says, get wisdom, get understanding. So I didn't stop listening after one time. I kept doing it. We've taken financial peace twice now, because I don't think I fully got it. But yeah, so God is good, and he is a man of his word. So wisdom has our answers, right? Lack of wisdom is the worst kind of deficit. That's what we need in this situation, is wisdom. And the word ask in the Greek here is actually a command. God is commanding us to come to him for wisdom. Because we learned yet last week, it doesn't come from growing old. It comes from God, the Spirit of God in a person. Also, ask is, it means to be adamant and requesting and demanding assistance, meeting tangible needs. And of course, with respect and honor who you're asking. And also, this word ask also has a full expectation to receive the firm request. So we're supposed to be firm in our request, honoring and respectful, but very, very vigilant in that we are going to receive. When you hear wisdom talking in Proverbs, it's like there's some scriptures, some translations that say, hey, stupid, how long are you going to be stupid? Wisdom is right here. I am crying out to you. Cry back to me. Get me. I'm here. And that's how wisdom is crying out to us. In Ephesians 1:17, in the Amplified, it says, for I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into mysteries and secrets and the deep and intimate knowledge of him. The word wisdom in this is insight, it's the Greek word sophias. It's insight or wisdom not naturally attained. And we've already gone over that. Wisdom comes from God. It is not natural human wisdom. And this word revelation, I'm not sure if I want to attempt this, apokalupsis, that's what it is. Something hidden or veiled for a long time, then suddenly, almost instantaneously becomes clear and visible to the mind or eye. I've heard many a person talk about when they're reading the Word of God, like, I probably read this scripture, I don't know, a million times, and all of a sudden, boom, one day, the veil is lifted, and the wisdom of God and the revelation from the Holy Spirit has just happened, and you see it. Sometimes that comes through preaching and teaching. I can't tell you how many times I've been sitting in that pew and hearing Pastor Chad teach and preach the word, and all of a sudden, something I've heard a million times, all of a sudden, boom, the light goes off. And it's happened in various, hearing various ministers. Just, it's like, man, I know I've heard this before. I went through, you know, a three-year Bible school years and years ago, and it's like, I don't even know if I remember hearing about us being made the righteousness of God in Christ. And then one time, 5 years down the road, it's like, I never heard this before. And I think I had a class on righteousness. So that's strange. But we need to be praying this scripture. This is one of a few prayers Paul prayed over the church. And it is very, very good. If you would grab a hold of these in Ephesians, it's in Colossians, and also Philippians are the Pauline prayers. And to pray this over our family, for that the spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets, and the deep and intimate knowledge of Him. God is making so much available to us. It's awe. I'm awestruck the more I see this, how much God wants us to give of Himself and the revelation of Himself to us. Romans 8:14 in the New Living Translation, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." Well, that's good. So we're children of God. That means we can be led by the Holy Spirit in us. And I got super, super good news. You know that there is no such thing as a Holy Spirit-led mistake? Isn't that good? There is no such thing as a Spirit-led mistake. So when the Holy Spirit leads us, He's not going to lead us the wrong way. He's going to lead us into all truth, it says in the Gospel of John. John 14:16-17, New Living Translation. "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth." Like I was saying, the world cannot receive Him because it isn't looking for Him and doesn't recognize Him, but you know Him because He lives with you now and later will be with you. He's always with us. The Spirit of wisdom is always with us. And I had read this earlier. We're going to read it again. How about that? 1 Corinthians 1:24. We are coming in for a landing, people. New Living Translation, "But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." And to continue on again, 1 Corinthians 1:31, "God has united you with Christ Jesus for our benefit. God made Him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God, pure and holy, and He freed us from sin. Therefore, as the Scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only in the Lord." And I talked about how Jesus was referring to the Queen of Sheba who had visited Solomon, and He was saying, "One even wiser than him is with you now." And we have embraced wisdom, and we have embraced Jesus. And you know, Jesus, in Luke 2:40, it says, this is speaking of Jesus, "And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace, favor, and spiritual blessing of God was upon him." Do you know Jesus grew in wisdom? How much more us? How much more? It didn't say anything about his childhood except for this. Strong in spirit, and he became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. He became filled with wisdom. It seems like just reading that verse alone, wisdom is a principal thing. It's pretty important. 1 Corinthians 2, 1-5 in the New Living Translation. Now, I said last week I wouldn't read a lot of stuff, but we are about to delve into, I think I'm right when I say this, an entire chapter. So, buckle up. Here we go. Like I said, we're coming in for a landing. 1 Corinthians 2, 1-5. "When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan, for I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever, persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. And in the New King James Version, and part of this, it said he came, it says, in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And Jesus even said that if you don't believe the words, at least believe the works. That there was a demonstration of power. It wasn't just talk. It was a demonstration of the power of God. In 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 10, here we go, more. New Living Translation, yet when I am among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God, his plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the scriptures say. I'm sorry. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Are God's deep secrets wise? Is it wisdom? The Spirit in us searches out God's deep secrets. First Corinthians, closing up, 11 through 16, or chapter 2. No one can know a person's thought except the person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. Oh boy. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. How many knows that we have the mind of Christ in our spirit? We learn that in our weekly charis groups. We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of wisdom in us. And in the New Testament church, it all comes down to a believer walking in the wisdom of God. It's really a display of us as children of God, being led by the Holy Spirit in our lives, the Holy Spirit who lives and indwells us and never will leave us and never will forsake us. I realize I just read a whole lot of scripture, but 1 Corinthians 2, maybe go back and read that and check that out. We have been given the mind of Christ in our spirit. We have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom. We have the gift of praying in other tongues, praying out the wisdom of God, the mysteries of God over our life. We have the gift of those who are wise counsel in our life. So, I just say this, in all you're getting, get wisdom, get understanding. It's available to us. He makes it more than accessible. And I didn't just give you an exhaustive study on wisdom, obviously. But my prayer is that it prompted you enough to hunger and desire and want to seek wisdom and to get wisdom and to get understanding in your life, because it leads to those things we read about. It leads to what people would deem as successful, what God's the one who defines success. And it starts with wisdom in our life.
You've been listening to a message from Charis New Testament Church. For more information or to contact us, go to www.charisntc.org. And remember, you are deeply loved, highly favored, and destined to reign in Christ Jesus.